Hitagawa.
And how do you say your last name?
I say my last name Loxon.
Loxon?
Yes. Okay. Guys, welcome to Elevate Today podcast. I am with Mick Kitagawa.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I met you through Randall. Shout out to Randall once again for a second guest. And yeah, so let's just go into a little bit about like the form and the things that you're into and the things that you're about, because I just thought that was really unique and fascinating.
Thank you.
So first, regenerative farming.
Regenerative farming.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the first thing I read, and I'm like, I don't really understand what that is. So what is regenerative farming?
Regenerative farming, it's something that goes along the lines of no-till. So no-till is the technique within farming where you don't till the ground or the soil, or the soil is the ground, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the main reason why you're not doing that is you're not destroying the soil. And that's the main thing, is why big farming techniques, they use a lot of synthetic fertilizers that tend to really destroy the soil, and it's only like a one-use type of thing, and that's why they have to till it up. So the main reason with no-till is you're doing cover crops, and the cover crops are actually pulling nitrogen and carbon from the air and putting that back into the soil. So that's like a super hack where you don't have to use synthetic fertilizers. You're working in a cohesive manner within nature. And the results that I've seen through cannabis farming, through food farming, the taste, the quality, the smell, everything is just off the charts, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I feel like a lot of people are starting to become aware of, because of certain farmers are really trying to push this to be like, hey, this eco-friendly. You know, you don't have to buy big farming equipment to till everything. You're literally just putting down a cover crop after you take in your harvest, and then let that grow, and then that cover crop is just chilling, and then you can cut that down, and it puts all the nitrogen and carbon back into the soil.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a pretty crazy process, but
it's a scientist.
Yeah. It's like, why do we have to buy all of these synthetics when we can just work within the soil, that like our ancestors have been doing this for thousands of years? You know, it's called permaculture, and it's working with companion plants that work within everything, like working with the bees, working with the flowers, and you know, the bees will pollinate and pass on all of these different pollen over. Mm-hmm. And just really, really help the environment all around. And it's just something that, I don't know, I just feel that a lot of people really need to jump on this, especially mm-hmm. with what's happening in India with the soil depletion.
What's happening in India with the soil depletion?
Farmers have been, striking, trying to bring awareness. They haven't had any help. I think it was happening all of last year, mm-hmm. where they completely destroyed their soil. Like they, it's almost at a point of no return of how many times they use the synthetic soil to destroy essentially what they have in the ground. Wow. Yeah.
Is this connected to, is this from the same philosophy and thinking of like what Monsanto does?
A little bit.
How they kind of like poison everything. Mm-hmm. And then they're the biggest business, the biggest organization. So we're always kind of consuming their stuff if we eat corn.
Yeah, any grains and corn, anything GMO, and mm-hmm. that's why I always try to, you know, really stress organics. Even though ordering organics from Whole Foods isn't always going to be the best, because they do have their own third-party testing that they created.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Like, the similar value is the fact that there's a good thing, and then the bad guys turned the good thing into something bad, and now we're all like, okay, this is wrong, but who's gonna do something about it? That's what regenerative farming sounds like to me. Like, food system, obviously veggies are good, but who would have thought that they could corrupt fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, it's a crazy system when you really, really start diving into it and seeing who is responsible for buying all of the farmland. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates bought up like 80% of the farmland, and you're like, this is a red flag, everybody.
Yes.
You know, this guy is trying to have people eat plastic and recycle poop water. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So, you know, like, I'm not a big fan of that man.
Oh, yes. This is a very, very normal conversation in my household. Like, people don't understand. People don't know. I will say, if you know anything about Bill Gates, you either know because you study or you're most likely wrong. Like, he's not just this businessman that knows what he's doing. Stick to business. Like, don't touch health.
Yeah, I know. This guy is the guy who created a computer and then created a software and then created a virus for that software. You're like, I don't trust him.
Yeah. How do you feel about things with AI technology?
Ooh, that's a really interesting conversation. I go back and forth, to be perfectly honest. I look at things as it will definitely benefit society as a whole, although it will collapse a lot of workforce. But I feel like within that collapse of the workforce, it will bring more time and opportunity for people to spend time with their family, spend time with, you know, just with things that really bring value to themselves and to society. Mm. And that's something, you know, that, like, shout out to Coach Murph. Like, he always talks about purpose, you know, and it's just like having your passions and purpose.
Yes.
And I'm just like, you know, that's that shift that's going to be happening slowly. It's going to knock out thousands and thousands of jobs. Yes. We already see that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is going to create a very big void in a lot of youth. Mm-hmm. that have worked and used these avenues of technology to succeed, to have these jobs, to work remotely. You know, that's all going to dwindle away with AI. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, I look at it from a perspective of everything happens for a reason, and you just have to make pivots. Life is all about pivots. Life is all about shifts. Nothing is ever just straight. You know, just straightforward, straight path. It's always windy, left, right, sideways. Sometimes you need to make a remix and U-turn. Yes,
very true.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, AI technology is insane. Like, I'm glad you see the good and the bad, because it really can do as much harm as it does good, especially when it comes to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Like the kids and how they're going to consume such an advanced technology. Like, I don't know what I would do if I had this during high school. Because I cheated on a lot of stuff in high school because it was so easy. Like, I took a test on an iPad. Isn't that crazy? So imagine, like, at my school I went to, like, having access to an iPad and then having access to ChatGPT and AI technology apps where you just, like, ask a question, you get an answer.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the education system is going to have to change from, like, from challenging them to have answers memorized, but to knowing how to be creative. Like, creative thought is actually the new value and connection.
100%. And mm-hmm. I feel like you really see that with just how social media is now, where you just look at it and you see people that are copying and pasting, cookie cutting. Just like, oh, this is an algorithm. Oh, this is how I make YouTube, you know, famous. This is how I do TikTok. Mm-hmm. Boom. And it's like, you're a dime a dozen. I'm sorry, there's nothing that, you're not authentic. There's no intention. There's no real life or real flair mm-hmm. that I feel from a lot of these younger, the youth, that they've never been taught that, never been really encouraged to be authentic, to be wrong. I feel like being wrong, you know, like, I admit when I'm wrong, but when I am wrong, I'm like, wow, I learned something. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that's the best part about it, is the learning process. Mm-hmm. You know, and having real just compassion for yourself to understand that, like, whoa, I was a little bit silly there. I had a stance and, well, I was wrong. You know, and I feel like that's just being a good person, is to eating your words and being like, oh, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. I have to do that when I post stuff for my podcast, and then someone like gives me a debate on it, and I'm just like, I agree with you, actually. I changed my mind. Like, we have the freedom to change our mind at any given time.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, with school, it's always, that's why it's exciting that you said that the school system has to flip a switch. It has to change. You know, like, it was always trying to extract just the right answer, not like, how did you come up with that answer, or like looking into that. Because for me, all the tests, I'm like, this is situational. This could be right if this situation happens. It's mm-hmm. never just black and white in real life.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was always my biggest like complaint with school. I'm like, well, I see it from both sides. Like, this answer could be right too, you know? Yeah. So it's really, I felt like it was really frustrating growing up in school and seeing that, of being like, there's something wrong with this. They're not teaching people how to balance their checks, how to change a tire, do laundry, not cook any, or cook something more than top ramen and cereal.
Oh my God.
You know, where I'm like, there are some key things that I really feel like school should implement.
Yes. Like, let's go into that. What do you think could change in the school system?
Well, I feel like a lot has shifted from when I was in school to now, like, because I know some, are people still doing the Zoom sessions and Zoom classes?
For the most part, I don't think so.
Okay. I think just the curriculum, you know, just the way they really try to shape everyone's mind rather than having an open floor to their perception or their experiences. Everyone, you know, like my brother said to me one time that blew my mind. I was like, he's like, there's no such thing as common sense, really. And I was just like, whoa. It just, you know, boom, 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 hit my brain. And I was like, dang, okay. Like, that brought a lot more compassion for just everyone in general, of like, oh man, you know, that person's going through it, I guess.
Yes.
Or it's just like, wow, that person really wasn't that nice. Yeah. But then they could just be from a different country and those customs aren't common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my friends, he got married to his wife, and she's Russian, and her brother is just little not Americanized,
just a little, so, Russian.
Yeah, just a little Russian. So it's just like certain, you know, little things of like, hi, hey, saying what's up, like those things just don't exist in that culture. Mm-hmm. And he was just like culture shocked. It's, yes, like, yeah, everything isn't common.
Yes, that's actually so true. And that's like, to realize that there's no common sense and then to have compassion from it, that's like the only way, because people are so freaking different these days, especially in California, where we have like every different culture.
Mm-hmm. And hodgepodge.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like the most beautiful thing we could do is like press into those different cultures. Mm-hmm. Like, be willing to like express that you don't understand why a thing is done a certain way, or put your culture onto others, like hugging. Like, some cultures, they do not like hugging, they do not like physical touch. Islander culture, Mexican culture, Filipino culture, which is what I am, like, them, they're very affectionate. That's mm-hmm. not something to be like, oh, let's be neutral and not share culture. Like, I think that's something we should share.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And it's just like, I love potlucks.
Yeah. So much. You know, and that's a cultural thing.
Uh-huh. And it's just like, you get all types of flavors, all just different types of energy and different types of love. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that everything is just intentions that I've really felt and experienced through life. And, you know, as being a massage therapist, that's something that is very, very important, is keeping that healing intention, especially being a male therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already get denied a lot of clients just because I'm a guy and they've had negative experiences with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you know, something that I really pride myself on, is creating that safe space and just making sure everyone's feeling safe and comfortable around. And I feel like that's what a strong masculine man does.
Mm-hmm.
That's really true. Just like everyone's good. And there's nothing that you need to worry about. Like if something comes through that door, I will get it.
Mm-hmm. I will get it.
Yeah, I will get it.
You said that massage therapy is your purpose. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how you've evolved to get to that point?
Ooh, okay. So I think we would have to rewind all the way back to my 20s, I would say. I used to be a server at a fried chicken place. Shout out to Bonchon Chicken.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then I was a manager there for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a really good relationship with my boss. He was like a mentor, very father figure, gave me up on a lot. Mm-hmm. And I got to this point where I just had no excitement, no happiness for doing what I was doing. I was, you know, cultivating the youth to have a stepping stone into something. I could write wonderful, what are those things called? Recommendations. I've gotten people multiple jobs for recommendations. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Although it just didn't feel like it was what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a void that it just wasn't being filled. Mm-hmm. There was no energy exchange really that meant anything to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going through a dark time, pretty depressed. And I was actually with Randall and we went on a hike and we were at Henry Coe Park. And I looked back and I'm like, dude, look at that tree. It got smashed by lightning. Let's touch it.
Wow.
And he was like, okay.
How could you tell it got...
It was just right. Completely seared, like seared and cracked right in the middle of like, just like a burn mark right through the tree. And we were like, let's touch it. And so I walk over there and put my hand on it. And as soon as I put my hand on it, I have never felt it was God. It was like, get kind of emotional talking about it, but it was pure source energy.
Wow.
And like I got just a pure download of my purpose, why I was here. It completely just shifted my trajectory of my life of like, remember, it just like I got a complete download. It was like, oh, you can be a massage therapist. You can help people. You can be like a doctor, but you're not going to prescribe crappy drugs. You know, you won't be in debt. You're not going to be in school for 6 years. This can be something instantaneously. All of these messages were just solidified in my brain of like, this is what you're doing. And, you know, I thank God every day for that, like, adjustment. Because I used to do a lot of drugs. I used to just be down a very dark path, mm-hmm. I should say. And to have found my purpose, to understand that I can help heal and I can be a tool of God, mm-hmm. to, you know, transfer his healing energy through me into that person. And it's just something that I feel like I'm forever grateful for to have found again.
Wow. That's crazy that it hit in one moment.
It was one. It was literally one download of just my whole body was just vibrating
from the like from lightning tree.
From the lightning tree, it was. Wow. It felt like just God's energy was just in there, and I was supposed. It was like meant. I'm getting goosebumps. Like
that's crazy.
Literally just walking over there, calling me like, "Here, come, child.
Let's touch it."
Yeah, and I was like, ugh! And Randall and I both touched, and we both were shaking like. Dude, do you feel this? And I was just like going through this download of everything. No. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. The next day, I went over to NHI and signed up.
No way.
Yeah.
That's real. Those moments are crazy.
It was a complete like pivot of my life, and it saved my life. Wow. Yeah.
And then you got into massage therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What has that been like now that you're doing it? Why do you believe it's so... it like the way to heal?
I've had just quite I would say a lot of stories where I've just seen people not being able to move, not have the joy of life, not have mobility. For example, there was a person, an older lady, at a Massage Envy, actually, right down there when I first started. Mm-hmm. She wasn't able to move her arm for 3 years. She started working with me. I started working with her, really, like, prescribing, or I can't say prescribing, suggesting stretches and workouts. After 4 months, she was able to move her arm again, and she was, like, crying in my arm and just so grateful and thankful. You know, and to see that, to work on my stepmom who's had a stroke. She's been in physical therapy for a year, had no
you can say whatever you want, by the way.
had no real progress, and within 3 months I've already seen her being able to, like, open up her hands again, and it's like she lost complete mobility of her right side. And you know, just seeing people gain their mobility and their life back is something that is just so, the energy exchange is just, I just feel so grateful for, to be able to be a part of that healing process for people. Mm-hmm. Because I know it's not nothing easy.
Yeah. And it's energetic too. That's, like, probably why you get a lot of positive results, because if you treat massage like just physical to physical, it will be just, you'll feel good and you'll be done. But the energy exchange, which you seem like you understood, because it started from that moment where you felt the energy in your hands connected to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really crazy. And I think that there's, like, a lot of healing that even comes from touch being healthy. Like, in order to grow, to be good, like, internally, I don't know what kind of statistic this was, but it was like you need 13 hugs a day.
Probably more, to be honest.
Probably more. And if you think about it, no one's getting 13 hugs a day. With COVID crap going on, people don't even like touching hands. Some are skeptical about hugging. Like, I'm not about that. Healing through touch is so important and not talked about enough.
And that's what was my biggest thing with the whole COVID thing. I was like, oh, that's really strange. 6 feet away, right? 6 feet is our actual aura.
No.
Yeah, it's the human aura that it's our vibe. It's that's why I thought that was really strange. I'm getting goosebumps
that
again.
That kind of made my heart drop.
Yeah, no, it was all, like, looking at the whole COVID narrative and seeing it, it was all very, very strategically done to disconnect, disassociate people, remove society, remove communities. Mm-hmm. You know, the mass didn't do, they've already admitted that it doesn't do anything. It's like holding up a chain link fence against mosquitoes. You're like, there's gonna be some things that fly through. There's gonna be some things that fly through, you know? So it's like, here, seeing that, seeing how, like, people don't even want to talk about the children that are being affected with the mask. Mm-hmm. I'm like, kids are so scared now that they have to have their mask, but there's, like, data now that's showing that kids are developing, like, speech impediments. They're developing all of these different things because of the mask, because during their developmental stages, they weren't able to see smiles, sadness, you know, like, all of the emotions that you get from your face. Mm. And it's just like, we already have autism at a higher level,
yeah.
You know, and that's dealing with heavy metals of things being in people's bodies. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you know a lot. I can go into, like, 10 things from what you said. Let's see. We got to pick one.
Yeah. I'm open book, so.
Let's go into the mask thing.
Okay.
So people are still using masks. What do you know about the fact that, like, there's no, you know, that it's bullshit?
there's just so much to really look at it. You can look at the molecule size and how it doesn't really, it's not really effective. Mm-hmm. The molecule's smaller than what the mask filters out. You know, you also have to take into the fact that dentists have said that they've never seen so much gingivitis or plaque on people's mouths because of that. They said people that they've had with perfect teeth all their life have come out with, like, gingivitis because of wearing the mask, because it's your respiratory system. You're supposed to exhale the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And we're literally just circumventing it through and people are having acne, people are developing all types of stuff like within their mouths. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that goes into a whole another thing of just health.
Mm-hmm. Again, another system that the bad guys had to freaking mess up. And that, like, the whole COVID time, I was just, like, from the very beginning. I wasn't even influenced by, like, my parents. I was in Pennsylvania. And I was like, I got to put on a mask for a sickness. Like, mm-mm. It doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done any of that. I think they're cute. Like, you know, the only time I saw, I remember, it was people from China. They would wear masks. I remember that was always, like, interesting. So mm-hmm. I was like, we're China now. Because, yeah, you know, you've seen people.
China and Japan.
In their country, they yeah. would do that a lot in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it didn't seem right from the very beginning. And even now, like, children born in that time, they can't read facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with, like, the 6 feet and the aura, that one blows my mind, too.
Yeah, and, you know, it just disconnected a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people lost a lot of friend groups. You during COVID, you found out who actually really cared about you. Because I remember, true. You know, who I was texting and like, oh, no text back. Okay. Like, yes. Are you doing okay, man? Like, I always preach. I'm like, check on your friends. Tell your mom and dad that you love them if you have them while you have them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't really realize how many I loved you. I love yous. You have left with the people.
Mm-hmm. Did you lose a lot of people to the drama of COVID?
Yeah, yeah. I would say a lot of. I was the one always sounding the alarm. Like, why isn't anyone noticing this? This is crazy. We need to resist.
Okay. Yeah.
I was the one going to Whole Foods. With with a recorded conversation with corporate, being like, okay, so if I have a medical exemption, I don't need to wear a mask, right?
Mm.
They're like, oh no, we legally can't. Okay, boop. And I would go into Whole Foods, walk in there without a mask. Sir, you need a mask. Excuse me, give me your manager.
Mm.
You know, and I was just like, if no one's gonna do it, no one will know.
Yep.
And so I was just the ponytail guy.
You got in some arguments. You were down.
I was the Chad, you know.
you still believe in this? No, I'm not going to put my mask on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there. I found out I had a feisty side going to certain stores.
And I felt like that was a whole other thing with just our adrenals.
Mm, yes.
For me, going grocery shopping, I was like, I got to get ready for war. I had to just put on this, I don't want to say mask, but this persona of just like, don't mess with me. I want to destroy you.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you want to say that I have to wear a mask? I'm going to destroy you right now. Mm-hmm. That's where my mentality went. And I realized, I was like, whoa, you're supposed to be a healer, man. Like,
yes.
It was just so, it was all my frustration I would just take out. And I was like, it's not even them that's doing it.
Yeah.
They're just doing their jobs, man.
What did it take for you to have that shift where you were no longer frustrated but more compassionate?
Plant medicine, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big...
Like your shirt?
I'm sorry?
Like your shirt?
Yes, yes. Definitely like my shirt.
I love your bracelets, your shirt, your necklace. Tiger's Eye, Yin mm-hmm. Yang has been so freaking significant to me lately. And Lapis Lazuli is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, I know.
You
exactly.
know? And then I like to say, like, this is one of my shirts that my friend made. He's an upcyclist.
Whoa.
And, yeah, Command Z. And it just really spoke to me really, really loudly of being like, yes, I love plant medicine. You know, cannabis is something, a big part of my life that has mm-hmm. brought a lot of peace, a lot of just easiness,
yeah.
I would say. And being a wolf, it's kind of just like, you know, he's kind of like the pack leader right here. And it's mm-hmm. just like understanding that everyone can always rely on me. Like, I always got your back. And that's mm-hmm. like one of my, you know, t-shirt companies is like, I got your back. And I feel that's like, cool. you know, being a massage therapist.
Yeah. Dang. So. Your shirt even reminds me of like how it seems like you handle things now with false truths being promoted. It's like you have your zen, your calm side, but then at the end of the day, like, you'll be a wolf, and that's inside or outside. Like, it's there.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to come out, but it's there, as well as the peace.
Mm-hmm. I like to say it's like a dragon, where I'm like, you know, you can tickle the dragon, you just don't want this flame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when that fire comes out, you're gonna get burnt. So it's like,
it's so good to be at this point now, because finally, like, the storm is calm. Someone with whatever they went through in COVID, for, against, pro, whatever, they can get along now.
Mm-hmm.
We can finally start talking about things openly and not being so hush-hush, not being so scared, not being so fearful to be controversial. Like, congratulations, you made it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's, and you know, even, because I understand what you've been through, being hard-headed for truth, and it's so worth it, because more than the fact that you're like, you know, something is right, you've done your research to know something, it's like you're fighting for it for others that can't, or you're fighting for it to represent courage. And it's those kind of people that, like, you know, people like myself, people like, you know, anyone watching you, they're like, okay, you know, I'm not gonna be shy about this, I'm not gonna do whatever I'm told, I'm gonna question things. It's people like you that are willing to get cussed out, kicked out, cut off. It's people like you where others can have courage, and I applaud that, because I did not see it like I wanted to when things were going down.
Yeah, it was definitely a really interesting time of just a lot of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I felt like that was really the blessing of COVID.
Yeah.
I felt like in all of everyone who's been living now, you know, there's never been a time like that where the whole world paused.
Yeah. Crazy. I know, it's so crazy. It's like a movie.
Yeah. I was just like, yo, driving around, Thanos snapped his thumb right now in the Bay Area. It's kind of nice. Like,
oh my gosh. It's crazy. Even the fact that, like, that just happened. And now we're so trained to not talk about things. Like, we're just so trained to be like, yeah, it happened. I'm like, what the frick just happened?
Yeah.
Like, the economy just pause, grocery stores closed, and then but things like Target and Walmart, they can stay open, but your small business closed, your grandma you can't see, but you can see your friends if you wear your mask, but not your grandma if you wear your mask.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, depending on what you do with the whole medical stuff, if you do it or don't do it, you're gonna get cut off. Like, yeah. That's how strong the opinions were, and being on so intensely on one side, it's nice to finally not come back to a neutral, but come back to compassion.
Mm-hmm. And, like, just think, one of the funniest things during COVID for me was restaurants. I was just like,
no.
Yo, the level of audacity that you guys have to just keep changing and moving the bar of, like, okay, don't worry, guys, these plexiglasses will save you. You know, like, shout out to the plexiglass that saved all the cashiers, right? Like, it was, it was so ridiculous. And I'm like, wait, I have to go over to put my card. I'm around the plexiglass. Are you gonna be okay? You know, like,
that would irritate me.
That, like, was crazy.
Yeah, there are so many things like that. Or, like, if you're sitting, you don't have to wear it, but if you're standing, you do.
If you're eating, you don't have to wear your mask, but if not, you have to put it back on. And then there are people that are forgetting putting noodles back into their mask. You know, and you're like, dude, this is bad. Or, like, the outdoor seating. That was the most ridiculous thing. When it was outdoor seating, but inside. You know, it was like an indoor-outdoor seating.
Yeah.
When you're like, there's nothing different.
Yeah.
Now it's just cold.
Now it's just cold. Yeah. That is so true. Like, the whole social distancing. Just, like, give me a hug. Like, I'm so like that. Or, I don't know if you shake. Don't shake my hand. Don't fist bump me. Don't give me your elbow. If you want to be my friend, if you want to know me, you have to hug me. If you're scared of my germs, I will sneeze on you. Like,
yeah.
Because that's the other thing. Because, like, obviously you're aware of this, but being in dirt, that's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Being in dirt is good for us. Not having our hands with, like, hand sanitizer all the time, you know? We have bacteria that fights bacteria. Like, but everyone's so scared of germs.
I know. I can drop a bomb. It's so look into terrain theory versus germ theory. That disproves all of pharmaceutical drugs and just the whole medical industry.
Okay. Terrain theory.
Terrain theory. So yeah, it dives deep within the people behind pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. people that Rockefellers, you know, like all of the big name people you start to see.
Okay, so this makes sense. You studied a lot during COVID, especially with like that family and the different trees and pedophilia, mm-hmm. and pizza.
Pizzagate and pedogate and yeah. all, yeah, they're just, yeah, if you guys want to learn some stuff, Pizzagate is real.
Out of Shadows.
Out of the Shadows was a really, really good one.
That one's like the best beginner one. Mm-hmm. Like, watch it, cry, talk it out with someone. And that's a good, like, introductory documentary on false truths of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And then you start diving into, I think it's Moist Buddha. You type in Moist Buddha, look up Pedogate, and you will find some crazy documentaries. Hmm. He's done some wild researching, and he's actually been threatened a bunch of times. Like, yeah. through some wild stuff. And so when you start digging deep, you start getting your VPN, start... you know, looking onto different servers, and you see some really, really sad stuff, mm-hmm. for sure. So
hopefully, so there's going to be two types of listeners, the ones that are going to be like, oh, I'm familiar with this, let me look it up, and the ones that are totally clueless about this. So our first disclaimer is it's going to be okay if you choose to step up and be part of the fight, be part of the battle of protecting the next generation. And there's lots of people that have committed their whole entire life to certain parts of this bad thing, whether it's like the children, you know, you've chosen health and promoting the truth behind nutrition and health. It's all connected. Like, we're brainwashed to know so many bad things as normal, but there's a lot of us that are going to intentionally be like, all right, here's the truth about this. If you're ready for more, I'll give you more. Like, that's you. Like, yeah. Massage therapy, healing, faith, proper cannabis use. If you're ready for more, here's a few documentaries. Like, the urgency is so necessary. When we talk about masks and how we don't want a social distance, it's because you know the power of healing. You know the power of being close to someone and how that could positively affect your aura. So, like, again, disclaimer, this isn't just, I don't like this, I don't like it this way. It's like, no. If you know something is wrong and you don't say anything about it and you don't do anything about it, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's, if you, yeah, silence is violence, right? Like they like to say, and it's like, it's very true. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like with the whole COVID narrative, like for the past 2 years, I was like, I felt like we were all in an abusive relationship and no one wanted to talk about it. We were all scared and abused, you know, to even bring it up. And I was like, I'm going to bring this up. This is weird. This is weird. Like, yes. This is strange, everybody. Like, you guys didn't think this was weird? You didn't think that they said that the vaccines were going to work? And then they're like, oh, guess what? Actually, they don't really work. And then it's only 60% working. Actually, it's only like 30% working. Mm-hmm. Actually, you really didn't need it. And natural immunity was actually better. You know, so it's, you just like...
You mean our bodies doing what they can do? Like, that's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
But again, we made it. The truth is out there. It's a matter of those that promote the truth and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for using this platform to bring more truth and elevate those who really want to. Yes.
And truth is, comes in different forms. And like, I love that we're talking about this because these are one of the topics that I'm really passionate about. And like, there's a lot of urgency to talk about it. But there's like residue fear. Like, I lost... you know, I lost blood, I lost friends, I lost like a lot of people due to this topic. But the thing to constantly be reminded of is like, we're past that now, we're good now, we can talk about things like you do you. But if you want to know more, I can talk to you about it. And then there's people like my auntie who sounds like just like you. She was stubborn. She would go into stores until managers talked to her because she refused to get kicked out. And she was someone like, the way that she inspired me to stand for what she truly believed and encouraged her loved ones to follow truths that she's experienced and known to be true, that inspired me to the point where I'm like, I will never choose to be more scared to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I have to live that out. That was her legacy that she passed down to those that chose to listen to her, and she's gone now. And it's like, now we have to let the ripple effect begin. Mm-hmm. She's the reason why I'm like, I don't care if this podcast gets flagged. I'm like, we'll throw it on Rumble.
Yeah. We can switch it up. Big shoot, we got a bunch of different platforms, you know. We can go on Truth Platform,
Truth Media.
Yeah. We can go on a lot of places.
Yes.
And yeah, like just like kind of well, like what you said, I really, really agree with that. And it's funny because, you know, there's a song that says, people pleasing isn't love, it's only fear. And I was like, dang, like I used to be a people pleaser. That was one of my traumas, is that just wanting to be accepted, wanted to make sure everyone was taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like my Papa Bear effect. Like when I used to party or just do, I'd make sure everyone was good. You know, no one's going to die on my watch or at my party, like type of thing.
Yeah.
And I just feel that, you know, that's what a lot of people try to stay in this little box of people pleasing, of like, oh, this, I want to do this, but, you know, I wonder what this person's going to think of when I do that. And it's just like, yo, that's, you're just living in your own fear box, the box of fear, mm-hmm. when you're people pleasing. It is going to accept some people, but the right people will always love you no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing with COVID. Like all the people that I thought were by my side that, you know, I had great, wonderful times with.
Yeah.
Where are they now? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wish them love, nothing but love and compassion for those people, because I just outgrew them. We elevated, you know, we're continually to grow, inform people, help heal people, yeah. and they just want to stay in their old, you know, ways. Mm-hmm. And that's not the stuff that I want to be around. That's not the type of people that I want around me. And that's why, like, I love being at UFC Fit, to be honest. Like, everyone is just so good there. They're holding each other accountable. A lot of strong men that just, you know you're good there. You know, that it's just like, shout out to Coach Murph again. Like,
yes,
he's a real one.
Yes, he gets shouted out so much on this podcast.
Yeah. Like, big ups to him. And yeah, it's just awesome. Like the energy and patience and just really feeling like you're cared for and like they really want the best for you there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I really never had a gym like this, or just like that environment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love it here. There's a bunch of dogs that we're getting it, you know?
I'm so happy you acknowledge that, because I do think that there's a very, like, different kind of energy in there where, for whatever reason, I'm friends with, like, all the trainers, and then there's some people that work out there, and for whatever reason, we wave every time.
Yeah, you're like, hey, what's up? Don't know your name.
Yeah. Whatever's going on in there is a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. I love that gym.
I feel like it's like the martial arts, like, that really bring in that discipline. For like just that building, you know, I feel like people aren't there to just mess around. Like at 24, where you see people catting off all the time, yeah. or just chilling in the locker room. I'm like, why are you still in the locker room, bro? It's been like 30 minutes. I thought and it came back. You're still here, you know. Like people are just in and out. Like they have their things to do, and I feel like it's such a great environment to be in, mm-hmm. where you're just focused and you're like, there's no real, it's. A lovely place.
Yeah, really. Shout out to Mimi. She is a phenomenal person. I'm going to get her on soon. Do you know Mimi, yeah?
Yeah. I've met her once, but I haven't really, like, got training from her or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's actually really crazy. Big shout out to UFC Fit and all the coaches and trainers and mm-hmm. people there for just being impactful to every single person that walks in to work out and ends up getting more love than they expected to get. Like, for sure. You expect to get a pump, and then you come out feeling confident, empowered, noticed. You don't get that from gyms.
And like, that's the thing, like, and you know, our friend Randall, our mutual friend, that he was the one who signed me up. He was like, yo, let's go out there. Like, my friend that's a trainer at 49er Fit said to come here, and then he, you know, introduced me to Coach Murph and you, and it was just like, you feel this community of people that all want to get better, and you're like, I like it here. This is a good place.
Yeah. I religiously go like probably about 5 times a week. Mm. And it's been the key to my happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what I was actually, I find similar to massage therapy. Like, it brings back healthy physical touch. Mm-hmm. Going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like, I think it's maybe Sexual Awareness Month. I saw someone post that. It could be an old post. But, like, touch is meant to be healthy. It's meant to be safe. It's meant to be good. And everything in the world sexualizes everything. And it breaks my heart. It makes something that was supposed to be good and simple into bad. And something that jiu-jitsu has done for me is it's allowed me to see my body not as a thing to change, a thing to change when I go in the gym and try to get bigger muscles, flatter, whatever, but it's a place to improve a skill. And then I realize how much, like, jiu-jitsu does the opposite of every other industry that sexualizes. It just teaches you how to see yourself as, like, a weapon, as a energy hub, as a thing that I can use to defend myself. And that is similar to, like, massage therapy, and that's the healing aspect.
Mm-hmm.
This is healthy. This will help you. You don't have to be scared. And that is the types of things that are needed for those that have been molested or incorrectly touched, to introduce touch in a safe way, mm-hmm. until you start to see it safe and can enter relationships in better ways.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more you really protect your boundaries, the more just good people that you have around really attracts that and really opens up that vibrational level to call in those healers that, you know, have the best intentions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I always like to say good people know good people. Like, it's crazy how many I'm like, oh, you know that person? I'm like, doesn't surprise me, you know? Like, it's just like, it's a vibe. It's really like that vibrational energy that we're all vibrating at. And it's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that, like, general love for everyone and really wanting the best for people. And you feel that with the people that you really rock with. You know that they just want the best for people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a weird feeling when you're young and you want that and not other people want that around you. And you're like, what's going on? Like, I thought you guys don't, I want you guys all to win. Like, the competition is crazy when I'm like, there's no competition with me. I don't feel like there's ever competition. There's only collaboration.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, oh, you're another massage therapist. Let's do a video together. Or something, you know, like, that's trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I learned so much from getting massage. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I love training with, like, other therapists where I'm like, oh, that move. Hey, what was that move? Like, yeah. I need to add this so other people can, you know, feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only sharpening your skill, your tool set. And
I so agree with that. So you seem like you have a very strong, like, intuition. You have to when you do physical touch, when you understand auras. And I know you know about chakras. First question is, how do you become more in tune?
More in tune to your chakras.
Or your spirit, or your own self.
I feel like meditation is probably one of... Meditation and proper nutrition are probably the two things that will lead you to a peaceful life. The main reason why I say nutrition, 90% of your serotonin is produced in your gut. Mm-hmm. So if your gut isn't happy, you're not going to be happy. So it's like,
this is crazy.
Yeah, the more you really start diving into gut health and the microbiome of your body, you understand that, like, everything is so connected, and you really want to invest in yourself, like with organic foods, with supplements. The main reason why I talk about regenerative farming is because everyone needs to supplement now because of mm-hmm. the soil, the lack of nutrients. My girlfriend, Rob Bliss Greens, Raw Cosmic Hearts, you know, she was like the nutritional, like, goddess for me. She was the person to put me on of a lot of things, of like, hey, you should, you know, maybe switch this out to this. And understanding nutritional values, understanding things that are great substitutes. And she was like juicing and being a raw vegan, and she was malnourished, like, way more than a lot of people. And it was just like, if she's malnourished, you know, knowing all of the stuff that she knows and mm-hmm. taking the supplements that she takes, I was like, yo, I am far, far behind. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I kind of dove into regenerative farming, because of the soil, because mm-hmm. of the lack of nutrients. And, you know, I was just really, I like to always find the root of things rather than putting Band-Aids on things. I'm like, that doesn't, put a Band-Aid on here. That's what I look at as a lot of physical therapists do sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, your pain is in your wrist. Okay, move your forearm a little bit. I'm like, well, what about the other synergistic muscles that are working within the shoulder that are locking up in their pec minor that won't let, you know, their arm relax? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, there's always more, or there's a root cause of something.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's why I feel like gut health, when I really found out about it, is really the root cause of a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, brain fog, weight gain, just everything. It's amazing how gut health is related to everything. And I'm like, man, it really is what you eat. You know, you are what you eat.
Dang. And people start focusing on gut health when they get rashes on their skins, or they can't digest their food, or they start focusing on nutrition because they're overweight, they feel heavy. But it's like, the real great part of that is to be more honestly in tuned. Like, if you don't have a connection with spirit, a relationship with God, something's going to feel lacking. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that in order to connect with God or to have a more spiritual awareness, it would mean to eat healthier? Yeah. But it's true. Like, that is like a principal fact. And especially, which I don't know too much about, with like with mental health, changing your whole diet would actually heal something that's supposed to be caused by lifestyle. Like, that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I like to say, like, you know, me being plant-based, I'm not going to say or push being vegan or plant-based to anybody. Like, on, you know, everyone's on their own journey. Like, I used to be a 3-steak-a-week guy, you know, eating sushi and doing garlic noodles all the time type of thing. Like, I used to eat. And what had happened was I actually had developed a meat allergy.
Whoa.
Yeah, and was like, well, you know, let me just try out just doing chicken and fish for a little bit. Did that, still wasn't working. Let me just try to be vegan. And just, you know, switching out certain processed oils, certain, just a lot of processed stuff, I think, mm-hmm. was the main thing that really switched over and changed, like, my anxiety, my depression. I lost 52 pounds in 3 months. Like, all of these things just shifted over. And I like to say that, you know, like, yes, it was my diet, but it was really the process of removing the processed oils, the canola oil, all of the fried foods. You know, that's why the carnivore diet, I know, have you heard of that? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why it actually works for some people. It's just removing all of that process, the glyphosate, all of the things that are really putting havoc on your gut, mm-hmm. is that they're just removing. And so it's just a process of elimination diet for vegans as well as carnivores, in my opinion.
That's actually really cool. I like how you acknowledge that. Like, the real thing is getting rid of all the poisonous ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And raw seems like the most raw vegan. Because I feel like you have to say raw vegan.
Yeah.
Because vegans, like, they'll end up eating, like, things high with canola oil or soy. And it's like,
Beyond
you're
meats.
Not part of the same family. Beyond meats.
Or impossible meats. Poison. It's poison, everyone.
Yeah. And that's actually a big difference, because, like, vegans, they get a lot of hate because it's like they're replacing their meats with something like tofu. And that's just not enough protein. So they end up being deficient with maybe like having anemia, whatever, issues like that. But it's like raw. That's what Dr. Sebi was on.
Mm-hmm. The alkaline.
Yes, alkaline raw veganism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he saved people with, like, AIDS. Like, he saved people that doctor said were going to die.
And that was, like, the craziest thing. Have you seen the documentary?
No.
Where I think he had, like, over 100 people, like, go to a jury court, like, the highest form of court, and they all testified for Dr. Sebi, saying, like, yes, he reversed my cancer, he reversed my AIDS, he reversed my herpes. Like, Left Eye Lopez was a big supporter of Dr. Sebi. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, it's crazy when you really start diving into alternative medicines, mm-hmm. alternative things that we were doing way before
pharmaceuticals. Yeah. And like, that's just, that's really just, well, first off, Dr. Sebi, that's another one. They corrupted him. And now if you post like even his name, you'll get like a bunch of spam comments. Like, they try to make it seem like what he's done isn't legit. And you know about Nipsey Hussle and Dr. Sebi?
They both got murdered.
We laugh because we know we get flagged. This podcast gets deleted, but Rumble.
Yeah.
Truth Media.
Yeah. We're talking the truth over here, yo.
Yeah. And that just goes to show, like, a lot of systems need to be overthought, and don't be afraid to question things. That's that's what we keep going back to. But yeah, eliminate toxic ingredients. Call it whatever you want. It should be your healthy lifestyle. Because the American lifestyle, it's not like, oh yeah, I just eat whatever. Bad, poison, destined for disease and sickness if you keep that route. Like, maybe you'll live long, but you don't want to feel gross. You don't want to not be in tune with your own body. So give me the things that come up to your head of things that someone that has like an everyday American diet can eliminate.
Switching out oils will probably be one of the biggest things. Canola oil is used in almost every product, I should say. If you look at it, they use canola oil. Canola oil is like a motor oil. It can be transferred over. There's very little difference. It is terrible for your body. It is made out of corn, GMO corn, which is sprayed with glyphosate, which glyphosate is in Roundup, and they pay over $3 billion in lawsuits, right? They're over $3 billion in counting in lawsuits of glyphosate poisoning. And so that is one of the main components in canola oil that people don't want to talk about, or people don't want to admit that that's there. And you know, that's why it's like Bill Gates, it's all one circle of things.
you just say his name, Bill Gates.
Yeah, I'm just like, this guy, because if you look at it, this, all right, he's owner of Impossible and Beyond. He has money in both of them. The main reason why I'm not a pusher of Impossible meats is because it's made from glyphosate. It's been tested. There have been traces of glyphosate that are over, like, I think a couple hundred times the normal glyphosate dosage. That's impossible. And so I'm just like, yo, this is something that is one of the most carcinogenic things to human beings. And it is being, it's in so many ingredients. And I'm like, this is just, I really want to just, you know, scream on the top of every building, like, guys, stop.
Stop it, please.
Like, it's not good, to the point where, you know, it's causing cancers, it's ruining gut health, it's putting depression, it's crippling people, it's creating all of these autoimmune diseases, it's creating such a chaotic just energy throughout the whole body. And you know, it's, you even look at what's happening in Ohio, like the train derailment that's ruining up all the water all throughout Ohio, and it works
killing all fish swimming in there.
Yeah, and you know, birds that were flying over just dropped dead because of the vinyl chloride. And raw vinyl chloride is the most carcinogenic toxin to human beings,
and that's in canola oil.
Oh, that was released in Ohio. That was the explosion of Ohio that got released into the water.
You know, Ohio's not okay right now, because I keep hearing more and more about that. I'm like, that's freaking America. Like, do I know anyone in there?
It's
a wrestling area. There's a lot of wrestlers there.
Yeah, it's so sad, because this is going to be a little conspiracy theorist, but...
no such thing.
Yeah, a realist. A realist, you know.
I hope that comment irritated someone. It's like, yes, sir, no conspiracies.
Yeah.
Facts.
The craziest part about the Ohio derailment, Netflix did a video. They made a movie on a train being derailed in East Palestine, the same exact place. And they made that, that came out in December. The train goes down in February, right? That's super weird. Also, Ohio is one of the leading distributors of chicken, eggs, and grain. And so that is completely disrupting the egg industry. That's disrupting all of homesteading. People that are buying eggs and, you know, getting chickens to homestead. That's also grain, which is in almost 90% of every grocery store. You look at it, grain, right? Bread, pasta, any crackers. You look at tortillas, like everything is grain. And you're just like, yo, this is gonna hit. Mm-hmm. This is going to affect a lot of people. Also, that water river that affects 8 other states. That they also don't want to talk about.
That's, I didn't know that.
The water, so the river literally goes down through like Kentucky and a couple other states all the way out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to block it, but they're, the government's saying that the water is okay. The water ain't okay. People are boiling their water, seeing like chemicals come up.
The government's like a film. Bunch of liars.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. The senator tried to come over there and he said, it was like, oh, look at the water. I'll drink some tap water. Took a little tiny sip, like, that's good water. And you're like, I don't know, dude. I'm
pretty I'll pass. Sure. Yeah. I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, like tap water, dude. Yeah. Like, that is, that's all on a whole nother level of water. Mm-hmm. What they're doing to our water systems. You know, that's another reason why we have a lot of weak men in today. It's what they're doing to water, the arsenic, the pharmaceutical drugs that are getting flushed down the toilet. Those are all going into our water systems. Those are all disrupting our hormone systems. Mm-hmm. As individuals, if you're not drinking distilled or some type of like Kagan water or anything like that, it's, yeah.
Do you know a lot about like the hormone levels decreasing in men the past years?
What is it? It was men in the 1930s, I think 1930s, the testosterone level wasn't it like 80% higher than it is now? Like the normal testosterone level is like 80% lower now than what it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone sees it. You can see the shift within just the younger kids. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also another thing of just like mouth breathing. That's doing a lot of harm to people as well. It's bringing a lot of anxiety. When you're breathing through your mouth, you're going through a survival breathing, right? You think about it when you're dipping out somewhere, you're like through your mouth. Mm-hmm. But when you're calm, when you're in that safe space, it's nose breathing. It's a in through the nose, out through the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, and like just the skull of children now that are breathing through the mouth, it's forward head syndrome. Mm-hmm. So their faces are actually looking different. There's more weight that's being pulled on their neck. There's more weight that's being transferred to their shoulders. And that's where we hold stress and responsibilities. That's only bringing more anxiety and more stress to kids of like how we breathe. And it also closes up our rib cages, so we can't breathe as deep.
What has made us start breathing through our mouth?
I felt like masks were a big thing that a lot of people started breathing through their mouth. And so it's just like, it's crazy. It's a crazy world that a lot of things have taken place. But I think, you know, you just surround yourself around good people, that people that you know that are going to have your back and, you know, are going to hold you accountable. And that's how you grow. Mm-hmm. Is being held accountable. I know it doesn't feel safe or fun all the time, but, you know, like David Goggins says, do something that sucks every day. Mm-hmm. And like, you can see yourself just getting better and stronger, more resilient. You have that mental fortitude when you really dive into stuff that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember like how soft I felt when I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. Or, oh, you know, I'll do that later. It's like, no, just get up and do it now, dude. Like, if it's so simple and so quick, do it now. Is my mindset now. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'll go fold the clothes. No, dude, it takes 5 minutes. Just do it now. And you're going to be able to relax. Because everyone knows deep down, it's like the responsibilities just don't disappear. They're just juggling.
Yeah.
They're just like, doo, doo, doo.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the ball starts dropping. It starts getting heavier.
Like, how'd they get here?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I really should just do it now. It's mm-hmm. like, that's where all the anxiety comes from. It's like, this energy. It's like anxiety and excitement are literally right next to each other on our brain. And the main reason why our energy goes into anxiety is because we don't know what to do with it. It's just built up over time that it's just, it needs to be released. So that's why I like just simple breathing techniques, breathing through the nose, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Like that will calm down your nervous system. Doing push-ups, that's why some people like doing push-ups when they get up. You know, there's different ways to move that energy out for the day. And I feel like that's where a lot of yogis get that like really just at peace, you know, where you look at them, you're like, how? Oh, there's just so many things going on and they're just calm. Mm. It's because they're so in tune to their body. They're so present. And I feel like with enough practice through meditation, through breathing work, breath work, you really have that mindfulness within yourself. Mm-hmm. And within, you're like, oh, that's a old reaction. I don't choose to give that any energy.
Mm, that's all it is. It's just energy.
Mm-hmm. And what we're feeding it. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with fear. Think about like atmospheric rivers, right, that we're all going through in the Bay Area. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know. Is it going to be flooding? People are living on fear porn. So you're looking at the news. You're trying to find things. You're trying to find something wrong, right? Mm. Is something wrong? Is something wrong? Where you're like, doesn't matter. It's going to happen regardless.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny because the people like you that I know, like my family, my client, like sending me TikToks of like conspiracy theories or things happening in Ohio or food or how our water needs to be filtered. As much as you guys know like the real harms of going on in the world, you're also the happier people. Everyone I know that knows, they're just like, oh my gosh, this happened, but they're just happy. Versus being like hearing bad news and being frozen, just scared. That's something to be mindful of when knowing more information, because the news is no different than when we go on Rumble. It's intimidating. The difference is truth and how they tell us.
Yeah, we're not propaganda. That's another thing.
We're not propaganda.
We're owned by 6 major companies, you know, that all that's.
We should do a Rumble episode one of these days.
I'm down. Just go in. Just
Which
go
is
in.
Funny because Coach Murph is the one I talked to about doing that because, like, he thinks like us.
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, Hannah's part of the team. I was like, all right. That's what's up.
Yeah. But then, like, he, you know, there's some things where I'm like, we can't say that on podcast. Which I think we probably went into a few. So experimental podcast. We'll see if this one gets flagged. first question, another one is, how do you not live to people please? How did you remove that for you?
A lot. To be honest, microdosing has definitely helped. I'm a big pusher of microdosing and how that really can be very beneficial for people. The main reason why I like to bring that up, it's because it can actually change the way your brain processes things. So essentially, like, think of it this way, like our brain route, right? So say if I want to put my arm out forward, the brain, it goes from like left to forward, right? So it'll have this pathway. It's just going straight, right? To move my arm. That's the pathway that's going. Within microdosing, within psilocybin, you can actually repave those neural pathways to configure out a different pathway to do that. So essentially, it can reroute traumas. It can reroute injuries. It can reroute muscle, mind-muscle connections. And so this is something that, like, I'm really, really trying to have more, like, people that are open to this, to doing body work with being on shrooms. Whoa. And to have that mind muscles, like, yo, I'm going to show you why this deviation is happening. I'm going to let you feel this. And we're going to work through this and manipulate these muscles to be able to fire differently. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, for people pleasing, that's another thing of just being like, oh, I should probably do this. Or it's like, oh, like I feel like I have to do things. When I have to do things, I always realize I don't have to do anything.
This is true. You know, like, I just realized.
and like, I like to switch up the narrative of just that whole thing of being like, I get to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the privilege. It's my privilege that I have set up my life and cultivated it, that I get to do these things. I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I get to. I'm privileged enough to be able to serve these people.
Hmm. How should one find the line between microdosing and tripping?
There's a lot of prerequisites for that. I always like to say, make sure you know, trust your source. Always make sure you're around good people. Mm-hmm. And trust the people that you're getting it from. Obviously, having stuff that's lab tested will help. So you know the dosage and the strength of it. Mm-hmm. I always like to say anything under 0.5 grams will be usually a microdose. I have taken certain plant medicines that have been like 0.6, and it felt like I took a full dose before. So that's why I like to tell.
Is that a 16th?
It's an eighth. It's 3.5 grams would be
Isn't an eighth almost a full trip?
And that would be a full trip, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. 16th would be a microdose.
Correct, yeah. I like to say 0.3 and under, to be honest. Okay. Like, that's a 0.3 is like, oh, it's a little more, because there's a difference of, like, tripping to microing. Microing, it's like a little tickle. It won't be enough where your eyes and visuals will be, like, shifting and things are dancing around, you know? Mm-hmm. It'll be like, oh, that's there. I see it. I appreciate it. And that's it. You know, and I can just move forward. It's, you're really driving the bus rather than riding the bus on a micro.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that
we're going on a trip, everybody. You
know? So, how would you describe the actual trip from shrooms to someone that's never done it before and kind of curious too?
For what I like to tell everyone about plant medicine, it's, you really find what true love is, again, for yourself. And you really just love yourself at just such a higher rate. And there's a lot of connection with God that I have felt. Just source power of just the gratitude that we have, you know, that we can, that we're blessed with to have this avatar to experience these life experiences. Mm. You know, like, we are healthy individuals. We both have all of our limbs. We have a great family. We have supporting people. Like, we are so blessed, you know, and shrooms really brings all that stuff that doesn't matter. It just pushes it out and brings everything in that really does matter. And that, like,
that is very true.
And I'm just like getting goosebumps again, mm-hmm. talking about it, because yeah. it's something that I hope everyone is open to actually eventually, you know, experiencing that, because it, you find self-love at such just a higher rate. It's mm-hmm. it's so magical. It's magic mushrooms.
I love your answers to things. They're so unexpected. But I agree with that. And I've also, so when you say plant medicine, do you mean like ayahuasca, shrooms, weed, gamba? Gamba, is that how you say it?
Gamba?
It's one where you, it's like from a frog and you
combo.
Combo. Yeah, you just throw up.
Yeah, yeah.
So magical.
That one's a wild one. I've partaken in one of those ceremonies before, mm-hmm. and yeah, definitely a lot of detox for sure. Mm-hmm. It works within your systems and pulls out a lot of stuff. But for me, I just felt a little. It's for some people. It's for some. You know, like it's. I like to say, just like cannabis, it's for some people. Some people it really doesn't work for. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's. When you're doing the inner work, those medicines, I don't like to say substances, those medicines will really, really help aid you on your journey of enlightenment, your journey of self-improvement, your journey of being a better parent, friend, son, daughter. You know, you're just an overall more compassionate person for. And I feel like that's where it really brings is compassion just for yourself. of like, yo, you're trying, like, love yourself, you're doing such a great job. Mm-hmm. And we don't really say that to ourselves ever. Like,
that's true,
you know. And it's just, yeah, it really brings in just love. And through all of my psychedelic experiences, everything that I have always come back to is life is love. Everything we do is based out of love. Mm-hmm. Work, you know, like talking to people is based out of love. Like, we want to know about that person. We care about them. Mm-hmm. You know, just every day, every little thing is always based out of love. Mm-hmm. And it's like we forget that so often. Mm-hmm. You know, in the grind. I like to say being in the Bay Area is the metaverse.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. We can create anything out here, mm-hmm. you know, and it's such a interesting, fun opportunity to be living out in the mm-hmm. metaverse.
In the metaverse. Yeah, I really agree with that. Like, I feel like that is the principle of this podcast. Like, life is love. Every single person I've had on, I've loved. Like, the more I hear them share their opinion, I'm like, this is love. Like, go do whatever you want after and before, like, busy, rush, work, you know. And then you connect with someone, and like, those are the moments that life is about. Like, there's a lot of bad things going on, we can talk about it all the time, but to be alive is the actual gift. To mm-hmm. have a chance. Did you say experience Earth, like, as this avatar?
Yeah, we have this avatar, yeah, living the human experience.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual beings living a human experience. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this saying where it was like, Jay Shetty, he wrote it in his book his first book. I think it's called Monk Mode. Is it called Monk Mode? Think Like a Monk. That book, its first chapter, it says, I am not what I think I am. I am not what you think I am. I am what you think that I am. Have you heard of that?
No, but it's true. You know, it's like everyone has their own little just perspectives or views on people until you actually really meet them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we live all of these like mental battles of like, this person's thinking this about me, or you're thinking this about me, or I think of this about myself, when it's like, if you're just a spiritual being trying to seek, find, and give love, it makes everything a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Then you find allies that look out for you if there's like people that have hateful intentions. Then you find people that fulfill the mission of love that you are determined and destined to pursue out.
100%.
Simple. It mm-hmm. really makes life feel simple.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, like, we always get back to it is just intentions. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the best intentions for everyone, you know that there's no anxiety, or like, if people misconstrued it like a way that they want to misconstrue it, they're like, yo, I have the best intentions for you. That's why I don't have anxiety. That's why I'm not like second guessing things. I don't second guess a lot of things because I move with love. I move with intention. I move with, you know, with God. I move with this light that the world really needs more of now, more than ever. Whoa. Whoa. I said that, and I was like, oh. I was like, okay, God, I see you.
Like, you're very connected to God, huh?
I would say so, yeah. Like, it's with diving deeper into what is really happening in this world, it's never been a stronger connection of understanding that there really is good and evil in this world. That, mm-hmm. and, you know, I feel like with my responsibilities of having this strong energy within me, like, I'm here to bring more light. I'm here. This is my path. This is my purpose, is to bring more light to anyone that needs it. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I've always had that infinite, like, just, it's all good, man. Like, we're all doing it. I only want the best for everybody.
We're all doing it.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying. Like, is what I like to say. You know, we're trying our hardest. Like, that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can do. And it's the most that you can do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go into what we were talking about at the beginning, as far as like your urgency and view on the obligation you have to protect the next generation. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. I think the youth is definitely being targeted through certain agendas, I would say. There's a lot of pedophilia that is getting like implanted in a lot of different groups that I feel like are getting hijacked. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is something that is really scary to me, that I feel like, you know, that really needs to be brought to attention.
Yes.
And I feel like within, for example, I'm not against any trans people. I have trans friends, and I socialize with people. You know, mm-hmm. We live in the Bay Area. You have a wide array of people.
Yes.
Although I do have a problem with the cross-dressing that is being shown to children. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that these children are getting sexualized and that community is getting dragged into it unwillingly.
Yes.
You know, like I wouldn't say the friends that I know are pedophiles that are transgender, you know, but these specific individuals are the ones that are grooming children. Like, mm-hmm. children shouldn't be exposed to stripping and throwing dollar bills at people and just weird, weird agendas and weird imagery to really confuse the youth. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you've ever watched, have you watched What is a Woman?
Yes.
Great, 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 great documentary,
right? Of course,
right?
I've seen that one. Yeah, yeah.
And he just talks about how they're really attacking children and their imagination. Mm. And, you know, it's just like a kid can wear a dress, like, okay, you know, he wants to be a princess, whatever. He's probably going to grow out of it. Every kid does, you know, like mm-hmm. there's little things, and everyone has masculine and feminine energy. I think that's something that I really like to put out there. It's like everyone has both sides, the yin and yang. You know, it's that masculine, feminine, and it's like some people are a little more feminine, some people are a little more masculine, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're a guy, you're a girl, is what I want to always put out. It's like, you know, it's a different spectrum mm-hmm. of things. You don't have to identify as things. You can just be, mm-hmm. you know, like I think how they are really wording it is really dangerous with, you know, these safe spaces of children identifying as cats and teachers have to say, hello, cat, you know, meow, meow type of thing.
Like, weird time to be a teacher.
Weird time. Yeah. It's really frustrating for them to, you know, their backs are to the corner and their hands are getting tied behind their back. Like, this is the curriculum that they have to teach. And, you know, like, for example, in Florida, they're doing a big old thing about a 6-year-old's book that was showing two boys how to give just head to each other. And like a 6-year-old book, you know, and he's just like, why are you showing this to children? Like, that's sexual, that's grooming children. And that's something that I'm not okay with, and something that, you know, I really, really applaud the account Gay versus Groomers, or Gays Against Groomers, because that I feel like that really needs to be broadcasted more, because I know a lot of my gay friends aren't groomers. They don't want that, you know, and like I'm all for my gay friends. Although it's like we need to be more outspoken about this. We mm-hmm. need to have more awareness of the dark tentacles of pedophilia. That have really affected a lot more boys and girls that, you know, people just don't know or don't even talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's such a touchy subject, but people really need to know what is going on in the schools, what's in the classrooms, how they're attacking our children, how they're going after our light and our future. And that's something that I'm not okay with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
every single person shouldn't be okay with that, and every single person should feel slightly obligated or responsible if you're no longer a child. Not if you're a parent, so I get it. I know what it's like. No, if you're no longer a child, then you should be angry at this and do something about it. And I'm glad you acknowledge that this is not, it's not a sexual orientation. If you're a pedophile, you are not good. And they're trying to, I saw that they were trying to add that in the type of orientation. They're totally different.
Yeah, MAPS. Minor attracted people.
Yeah, no, sicko. that's what they are. And like, that's what's really scary is the youth are getting so hypersexualized. And that's the big thing that like I hate to see. It's like all about like young girls being able to look like they're 18 years old in social media, not specifying age. That's where we see a lot of pedophilia problems even beginning, because these 12-year-olds look like they're 25.
Yeah, yeah. And it's scary too, especially with social media being such an open platform. Mm-hmm. And just like, for example, even TikTok. There's like 14 and 16-year-old girls that are just dancing, shaking their booties all the time. Mm-hmm. And you don't know who's watching that. You know, like there are guys that they're just pedophiles. There are pedophile networks that go in and just will comment and have like just very, very weird things, mm-hmm. you know, and like people don't know about that. I'm like, they are attacking our children.
Exactly.
And that's something that's just not right, where, you know, you need to really monitor your children and just monitor their usage of just even, for example, like Netflix. You look at Netflix, like a lot of anything on there is very sexualized. If you look at like even the cartoons or some type of always weird, mm-hmm. like underlying energy in certain scenes, or, you know, it's like Netflix's creator or owner was his grandfather was the creator of propaganda.
Can't say I'm surprised.
You know? And so it's like, I try to stay off Netflix as much as possible because I see it where I'm like, this is an agenda. This is an agenda. Why is everyone always like, there's always some type of scene that's trying to, it's propaganda just 100%. Mm-hmm. Like all of the movies or...
13 Reasons Why the suicide rates went up after that show. We're promoting mental health. We're showing the reality, blah, blah, blah. After the show, suicide rates went up.
I remember that one. I watched that one and I was like, this is implanting a lot of suicide in a lot of youth. And I'm like, this is bad. And a lot of sex in that too.
A lot, yeah. Oh, actually, I need to watch this one specifically because like I'm so out of touch with teenagers these days. Euphoria.
That's another one on HBO Max. Yeah,
I'm going to find HBO Max and get the password from someone and I'm going to watch it. And I watched it with a set of siblings and the brother was like, I'm not watching porn with you. Like, change this crap. And I'm like, if that says anything about the show, like everyone says it's so good. Zendaya did so great. It's real. Who is like this show is showing someone that this is normal. This is not normal. This is bad. This is unfortunate. Maybe it's what goes down in high school, but it should not be a reality. And it should not be like, oh, I feel sympathetic. Like, I feel for you. It's like, that is injustice. And yeah. I feel for the what I seen on that. Not like, oh, it's just relatable for some. There's no point to feel relatable to like the darkness. Mm-hmm. Solutions and right versus wrong being a thing.
That's like another thing that they try to really implant is like hookup culture. You know, they go into that. They go into different siphons of like things of like OnlyFans, you know, of women empowerment. Like you think about all of these things that they try to spin, you know, women empowerment. Oh, do everything and do, you know, own your body, all that. And you're like, you're selling yourself. You're being a whore. Like, let's be real. Like, yeah. There's nothing empowering about that, of having your body parts in other people's, thousands of other people's phones. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not empowering. It's that's just, really embarrassing, to be honest.
It's sad because it's very profitable.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so freaking profitable.
But then it's also emasculating men, too. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother agenda of, you know, the disappearing male.
Yeah, and then the most important thing is to protect the family unit. The family unit is so like getting destroyed because that's the opposite of family is hookup culture. The opposite of family is like non-intentional like non-intentional relationships and just women's empowerment. Even I don't really agree with the philosophy of feminism very much, because it says I don't need a man, and I know I don't, I'm good right now, like I'm can take care of myself, but I do need a man. I need a family. I need someone to protect, to provide, to look out.
Be the rock.
Yeah. And I provide my different things. Like as a female, I'm in my essence when I get to express, communicate, nurture, love. Like that's the feminine. I can also throw down, cook, do what I got. I mean, work and do what I got to do. But the yin yang of it is supposed to be protected and stay beautiful. And we are beautifully supposed to need each other. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Supposed to be cherished.
Yeah. You're in a healthy relationship and that's how it's supposed to be. It's so empty when you go hookup culture, get your needs met, and then go home by yourself. Have no conversation after, eye contact. It's scary.
Or future of just like what we're creating on the everyday, or why we are together for the end goal, mm-hmm. you know, like what we're building, what we want to do, like the kids, all of the things that I feel like are really dismissed in hookup culture, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just like having a high body count ain't good. Like sex is sacred energy exchange, you know, like the exchange is obviously the X, but you know,
I was like, whoa,
exchange. Yeah. But, you know, it's like anyone who's ever really hooked up, and it's like, you know, that does not feel good. Mm-hmm. You feel empty. You're laying there like, you just look like a silly dog. You like look over. You're like, okay.
Time to go home.
I'm like, this is weird now. Yeah. Why did we do that? Now that we did it, we realize we don't even really like each other. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, where is, I always like to look at end game of things, like why am I doing this? Well, what is the reason why I'm doing this? Is there a trajectory? Is there a plan? There has to be a reason why you're doing these things, right? You're like, what does this lead to? It leads to like hookup culture just leads to divorce. It leads to, oh, I can find another person, dipping out. There's no like, buckle down, we're going for a bumpy ride, but I'm still gonna be here. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I don't see in a lot of younger men now. They haven't been taught that. They haven't, they are being attacked on so many levels of hormones, of programming, of video games, all these things that distract men from their purpose to protect. It's never been so evident to me now where I'm just like, wow, these are all programs to just distract us from being who we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, whew, it's wild to see.
Mm-hmm. But because of what you're saying, there is hope.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. definitely a lot of good men. There's definitely the community. And I just, you know, want to say thank you to all the strong men out there that are doing it without mm-hmm. getting any recognition.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of dads. Have you noticed? No one gives a shit about Father's Day. It's always Mother's Day.
Yeah.
It's really messed up, mm-hmm. in my opinion, where I'm like, dang, like I didn't realize how much my dad did everything until I was 30, to be really honest. When I started looking at being a father, what I needed to do, what I wanted to show up for, it's like, dang, my dad did all the things that, you know, I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yeah, you were an asshole at times, but You're doing it. You're doing all of the things. You're allowed to be an asshole here and there, in my opinion, when you're just carrying so much. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens with a lot of parents nowadays, that they're just carrying so much that they don't have a break for themselves. They don't have the energy or time, or they think that they don't have the energy or time to talk to their kids, to spend the time, you know, just mm-hmm. solving a problem or just shooting hoops, taking them to their games, taking them to martial arts, being there and watching them, you know? And I feel like that's why it's like nutrition. All of the things lead into nutrition, because that's what is the foundation for everything. It's like, if this isn't good, this won't be good, then the body won't be good. So you can't even do any, you're useless. And you're mm-hmm. seeing that with a lot of people that are eating all these fast food, that are eating DoorDash and just funneling in just shit, mm-hmm. You know, they don't love themselves by doing that. Every time you choose fast food, you're not loving yourself, because you think that you're not worthy of a good meal, or you're not worthy of, you know, feeling good from healthy food. Hmm. Like, I think it's really interesting to see that, where a lot of people emotionally eat. I'm not saying I don't do that, you know. I love some pizza sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But, you know, it's, everyone's on their journey. I just try to encourage everyone to be mindful of these things. Mm-hmm. There's no way I could be like, oh, dude, flip the switch, do what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, it took years to understand water, understand soil. You know, it's like you're just constantly just always growing and always learning.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, having communication in a partnership is the main thing. Is like, I always want to grow with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that really sets a good foundation, is just understanding that we're both going to grow and we're going to be different people. Mm-hmm. You know, and understanding and seeing that progression is just like the beautiful journey. Mm-hmm. With someone.
Dang. Because life is all about love.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, we're at our time. I wanted to ask you the classic question. What is your tip for someone that wants to elevate their life?
Elevate their life. Hydrate. Yeah. Hydrate, stretch, breathing through your nose will help out. Those three things. Just movement. Motion is lotion for the body. Hydration is everything. And
stretch, drink water, breathe through your nose.
Breathe through your nose. Yeah, and breathing through your nose will bring back your centeredness of who you are, why you're here.
Mm, that's powerful.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
_M_performance or Mix info page. Or my info page is the one that has some wild stuff. If you guys want to dive into some things.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
That's the No Holds Bar. Lost a lot of friends.
Wow. That's why I haven't followed it yet. You're like, we should probably meet first.
Yeah. I was like, I'll add you on that one.
For sure. And then, do you do massage therapy in the area?
Yes.
Where?
I practice at my place next to Almaden Lake Park. Okay. And then I also do in-home sessions as well.
Okay. So San Jose?
Actually, all throughout the Bay Area. I have clients in Oakland, Menlo Park, San Francisco, Stockton, you know, so I'm everywhere.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. This was a crazy conversation. Like, I'm excited for feedback and for people to be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun for sure. Well,
thank you for being on today.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity.
For sure. Listeners, thank you for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. Keep elevating. Do whatever it takes to live the life that you are destined for, a life of purpose and meaning and love. Have a beautiful and lovely day. Goodbye.